Welcome, y'all, to Critical Clicks! Your own clicks!
Damn my greatness!
That there's nothing I can do to save you.
Your own clicks!
Give it up for Jaws' host,
Scott Porter.
And Scott Cram Company Crampton.
Hey guys, this is Lucas Van Holland, and here's my partner.
Hey, I'm Scott Cram Company Crampton. Welcome to Critical Clicks, an adult podcast for the competitive HeroClix player, where we put the hard R rating in HeroClix. And Lucas, this is a very special show because we have somebody who appears on the show exactly once a year. Are you excited for this? Indeed.
Yeah, it's about damn time.
PJ Bolin, everyone.
Hey.
Look at that. PJ Bolin. And also we have somebody else. PJ, who do we have on that you brought along?
We have this other guy that you may or may not have heard of him. Mr. Scott Porter is here.
Hey, Mr. Scott Porter as well.
What's that?
That's a greater Scott for anybody who's confused.
I don't know. I didn't get a deal on Shark Tank, so I don't know if Lesser Scott holds any water anymore. So, you know.
I'm getting into mid Scott. I'm very excited for my transition into mid Scott. We need a new
one up.
And I'm also very excited to be here with all three of you. I was scared after choosing PJ to come on the HeroClix for Huntington's live stream that it might break up this wonderful trio. So I'm glad that no egos were hurt so bad that you couldn't get past it. Crampton.
Crampton sent me a video of him crying into a mirror. It was kind of heartbreaking, but it was also something I'll post publicly for everyone to see and laugh at.
It was like a trait. Wait, was that because you were on the live stream or because he was looking into the mirror?
It's probably both.
I just laughed Scott that you chose
more like Lesser.
You just chose the one of us that doesn't actually play the game.
Yeah.
That's the best one. you had three options and you chose the one player who doesn't play.
Well, if it helps, PJ and Lucas are the only people who would have noticed the power doesn't work. I would not have. So... So hopefully it's been fixed. You know what? I was going to jump into something else, but let's jump into exploring this POG. And now I do understand this is one of the major prizes, right? Scott, how do people get the new Scott, Lucas, and PJ figure?
Yes, with all of the powers and the image are just wonderful. You know, the flames, the lightning bolts, it's awesome. How do you get yourself one of these POGs? Well, they are in every event as prizing for every major event that we have, including the Tracy Brock Memorial, including the Rock World Championships, as well as the Scott Porter Invitational Teams Tournament and the Scott Porter versus the World Sealed Tournament. On top of that, they headline the prizing for the in-person and online battle royals. We have a ton of prizing for the battle royals, both virtual and in person. But this is kind of the marquee prize. And that's the way that we've kind of worked it over the first few years. And it's a great way too, for people who can't make it to the event. If you know somebody that's going, you're going to be playing in multiple battle royals. You know, you take a couple of the POGs home for your friends and make sure that we get a lot of these out into the HeroClix gaming community and hopefully see them in tournaments to come.
Now, the reason it's the marquee prize, am I correct in saying it's because I'm on it? Is that correct? I feel like correct. Like the last two I'm looking at, I'm just saying that's a common denominator that I'm on it, and thus it's the marquee prize, right?
Well, so
some of your Scott Porters, right?
Here's the thing. When I first came up with the idea of this design of POG, it was something that hadn't been done in HeroClix before. I wanted that to be unique to the event, but I also wanted it to pay homage to kind of the fellowship of this game, the community of this game. And Matthew Ventura, who won this prize the second year, created a POG called Spirit of the Game. And I was like, it would be awesome if people did doctors or, you know, people who are support staff, people who of help with like, you know, battling, you know, this disease that we're raising money to fight. And then Scott Crampton won it and just called it Scott Crampton and decided that he was going to just ignore all of the wishes that we all had as a community. And now I'm at least glad that we don't just have to stare at you. I still, this year, will be signing over your face. Because I think I had more requests for me to sign over your face on your POG last year at the event than you to sign it. So I'm guessing. Yes.
It is also true that ones that do not have my signature actually literally do go for more. And that is you made that into existence. That is real. That is not a joke. I have tracked that, and they actually do go for significantly more, usually $10 to $15 more. But that on the real, so like, people get confused on this. I just want to say this because this is this is a premier event of HeroClix. If you guys watch the show, follow the show at all, we do not do sponsorships. We do not do advertising because we want to actually talk true. And this is the most fun you'll have. It's the best prizing. Yep. Is it a world championship? It's not exactly a world championship, but it's definitely the event to go to by a lot. And people talk to me. They're like, well, how do I get these different things, different POGs, the different things like that? I saw three of the POGs go for online $170. For the Scott Porter, Spirit of the Game, and Scott Crampton. Now, Scott Crampton being worth, of course, the $150 of that. But
unsigned.
It was unsigned.
Very specifically.
Unsigned. Very specifically. It said big bold print unsigned. But people ask me, well, how do I get some of these? This is it. This is it. So let's take a look.
I'm so sorry, Crampton. I did want to make sure that people know we do still have Scott Porter, Spirit of the Game, and Scott Crampton POGs, so that if you're winning Battle Royals and you've won a couple and you have all of the, you know, Lucas, PJ, Scott POGs that you need, but you're missing some of the older ones, you can choose one of the older POGs. We have a limited amount, but we still do have some of each of them. I think around 50 ish. So for anybody out there listening, you can always choose one of the older POGs as well.
And there's some in the auction too, right?
Yeah, there is.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there'll be a big demand for a PJ Lucas-less Scott Pog. I feel like that will be in high demand.
Funny you might mention that. We made a variant where we removed you. So
this is fantastic.
We didn't. I wish we would have. I wish we would have thought of it. Sorry. Go ahead, Lucas. PJ Pog.
Not too late. Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to say this, and I might get in trouble for WizKids, but this is real. I'm going to broadcast out. I don't care if I get in trouble from WizKids. I'm complete. The first iteration of it was literally called By WizKids, Skeet Cue Ball and Friends. That is real. That is real. Lucas, can you confirm that you saw that?
Yep. Yes. It was. Yes. We saw it there. And as much as I wanted to be known as friends for the rest of my life, or and friends for the rest of my life,
I was fine with being Skeet Cue Ball if they had to be and friends.
It would have been
fine with that. Oh my god. So Lucas hasn't got a chance to talk about a POG he made. So Lucas, why don't you just do a quick rundown for those who hadn't seen it? It's only one click, so it won't take too long. Yep.
So Lucas, PJ, and Scott, it's got sidestep, toughness, and power. So it's 5 points. So for 5 points, and power is great. There's no denying that. That's probably worth it on its own. But we also got a secondary trait on there, which is that Lucas, PJ, and Scott and adjacent friendly characters' powers have protected Pulse Wave, and that has been corrected from the initial previews as well to include the additional protected Pulse Wave after the fact, so it actually works. Yes. But basically what that means is if the POG is next to you and you get Pulse Wave, whatever is showing on your dial for powers, you can use them. So you can prob a Pulse Wave attack. If you have a reducer, you're just going to reduce the damage. If you have super senses, you get to roll out of it. If you have shape change, you can potentially not be targeted.
But is this really... Lucas, is this a really a good power? Because is there any characters in HeroClix that are all over the place that have Pulse Wave?
A particular sculpt I can think of a dude holding a big white or a big yellow box above his head that we were like, yeah, we really prefer that he doesn't
holding the box right now.
we really prefer that just didn't work anymore. So we made a POG that happens countered to perfectly it. Counter that.
It's a counter.
Who needs a ban list when you can just make 5 point counters to everything?
Yeah.
Is this a unique?
The POG? I believe the POG is.
Yes. Unique, yes.
Okay.
Yes, right. It is.
Okay, so it is unique. The other thing is it does have three damage. It's a mystical warrior and podcaster, so it does pair somewhat well with Amut's Tomb, which is a big thing in HeroClix right now. Yes.
Or even in just in general, like a 5-point character that can destroy blocking is fine. That's
yes,
great.
Yes. Yeah. So,
and for those who are attending, I have these tiny misprinted cards that have our paw on it. And if you win one, you can come talk to me and I will give you a tiny card that accompanies said pog.
Yes.
That way, if you get it signed, you'll still have something that you could read what the power does on it. I am getting actual sized ones that are not misprinted made. They're just not going to be here in time for the cup. So for the remainder of the year, anybody who has said pog can come to me and I will.
They're the size of Lucas's thumb, and I'm not joking.
It's a HeroClix card that could fit in the school that Zoolander thought all the kids would have to go to. What is this, school for ants? What is this, a card for ants?
Yes, it's very small. I was not paying attention when I ordered them, and I got the tiniest size they had.
Oh my god, it's awesome.
All right, so I thought, because we came up with the anti Scott Porter thing, because Scott Porter is just running rampant. And I thought it would be great to talk about the one team that was the most Scott Porter-ish team in the history of Scott Porters, which was at Adepticon. Lucas, do you happen to have that pulled up by any chance?
Yep. So Matt Reed's team, shout out to Matt Reed, played very well, got 10th overall at the event.
Really beat some big people too. I played him round one.
And I think he might have lost one other game, but I think I was his only, no, he lost one other game other than me, but his team is really good. Master Mold is not to be messed around with, especially since the Scott Porters exist. But basically what the team was is Master Mold at 200 points with both Scott Porters, white and black shirt. And then the Masters of Evil Chases, I believe he starts off with Black Skull and then goes into Inquisitor to give Mastermind. But basically what he does is, because he's playing Master Mold at 200 points, he gets to turn up his factory dial every turn. And then when he hits leadership, he turns it up an additional time. And then when a character Sentinel and Robot hits, he gets to turn it up an additional time, which white shirt porters have Sentinel and Robot because they have every keyword. So what he does is he just turns it up to 25, 50, 75 points or whatever, and then power actions and makes that many Scott Porters from outside the game. So he could have like five or six white shirt Scott Porters.
My understanding is his max white shirt Scott, the max amount of Scott Porters he had in the field was 9, including the black shirt. That is what
Holy shit. Okay. Wait a second. So did he actually have all of these Scott Porter? I mean,
he begged, borrowed, and pleaded. Yes,
absolutely.
Oh my god. Yeah, because there was a limit on how many you could. I mean, I guess not the first wave, but there was a limit on how many you could actually pick up. So
they're very hard to get. They're very hard to get.
White shirt porters ran out really fast, but you can actually still order white shirt porter on WizKids' website right now. I've ordered 9 of them over the course of the last like 6 months.
Holy crap! Well, we're going to have 69 Scott Porters of each version at the event this weekend.
Joke. Like, you're just like looking for me to do a joke here. I'm not doing it.
I just try to professionally podcast. So I leave space for the other hosts to, like, I'm a host now. I'm not even a guest anymore.
This is the Bald and the Beautiful. Take 4. This is the 4th episode of Bald and the Beautiful. I don't understand it. Scott is not bald, but maybe.
I mean, great wig. This is a more expensive venture than trying to get like an army of 20 veteran Jamie Madroxes when they came out in Supernova. I remember I was spending way too much money trying to get veteran ring Madroxes. That sounds like an even more expensive venture. So, hey, hats off to Matt. Well done.
Yep. But literally an army of Scott Porters destroying everybody. So that is a real thing that really happened.
For what it's worth. So Matt, he told me after their game, Matt had to play against Alex Mader as well. So Matt had a really hard schedule and played really well during that event. He had me, he had Alex Mader, who's the current national champion. He played against Alex. Alex miscalculated how Matt's team works, and then Matt proceeded to pulse wave him for like 30 damage the next turn. he just absolutely wiped out Alex's team in one turn with all the pulse waves. It was wild.
He had like the pulse wave card up and had like four or five pulse waivers.
So you're doing two and then knockback. It's incredible. And you're never going to miss. Everything's going to miss. It's a 12 attack and you have a million probs. It's crazy. It's absolutely bonkers. All right. I'd like to go into questions. And I'm like literally on like number 19 and nothing is appropriate at all. Like even when I think...
Hey. While you're looking, I wanted to say something. I mean, I love being on Critical Clicks because I can just talk about anything. You know, we talked about the event and then there was this comment on the event and it was like, you say design, but you don't even let people like really design anything. So somebody was very upset about design a legacy card, about there's certain restrictions on it. And you guys have now designed a number of game elements for the game. So I wanted to talk to you kind of about what your experience is, but at the same time, explain to everyone out there, WizKids does not give you carte blanche to just do whatever the fuck you want. Like, quite literally, they are allowing you to create a game mechanic that has to exist within the fabric of their game that has been around for decades. So it is a collaborative effort. So to the folks out there that are like, well, it's not really a design. This is a pretty damn cool prize. You can't get it anywhere else. And you know, in speaking with Daniel Powell about how he designed his legacy card, or last year talking with Crampton about designing the bystander, or me this year with the Ice Lake map, there are certain things they're willing to let you do. There are certain things that are, you know, they're going to say, hey, look, we want this to be competitive, playable, fun. Like we want it to be all three of these things. So they got to turn some dials. And I mean, it's their company and it's their game and they're going to be better at doing that than I am. So, you know, I just wanted to anybody out there who's saying that, like, say real quick, you know, the design of things or the become a switch clicks or, you know, they take some time and they take a lot of collaboration, but it is the closest you'll ever get, I think, to designing a game element that you are proud of as a player, as well as something other people might look at and go, this is something I want to play. This is a cool thing to have. And so I just wanted to ask you guys your process of designing. I mean, you quite obviously set out to build something that could neuter, me. And your first shot, you took your shot and you missed the first time. You had to get it corrected. But you might finally get me. But the process for you guys in the design process, you know, how was that experience for you with WizKids?
So, you know, talking about that, we'll be very transparent in the fact that what you see on our POG is quite literally, I think it was the first draft we sent to WizKids.
Yeah. It was like exactly what we asked for.
There's a little bit of a word
afterward, but like that was our initial ask.
A little bit of a wording update, but otherwise like what we sent to WizKids is pretty much what's on that POG.
Yeah. They approved it so easily. I tried to get them to add more at the end. They're like, yeah, we can do that. I'm like, you can. Could you also make us invincible with hypersonic speed and a 40 move?
Yeah. And five team abilities.
So team abilities. I mean, look, when I'm designing maps, like, look, I know that the first map I designed, Hyper RPG, I haven't really seen it in any tournament scenes or anything like that. It's not really a map that's versatile enough for that's unique enough that people want to build around. But then Friday Night Lights, I saw that map a lot in like local scenes. It was a lot of what WizKids was aiming towards doing, shrinking the battlefield down and forcing people into the middle. And there's a ton of blocking and hindering and all that stuff that forces you kind of in the middle on that. Racer Motors, I was happy to see at Adepticon in the top eight, like somebody who's rocking Racer Motors.
That's a legit, very difficult map to get around. It's like a stalemate map.
I played Racer Motors in all but one game, I think.
Yeah, we played on the castle.
Yeah, we played on Otherworld Castle, but otherwise it's all there.
I mean, that's pretty damn cool. And then this year, you know, the design process that I had is I wanted to do a special map rule because we don't really see them too much anymore. And I wanted to create something kind of unique, but still, like, you know, I said earlier, WizKids wants it to be playable and fun and have a slight competitive element. And I took a chance and I made this map, and I'm hearing pretty positive things about it, but it's definitely going to be unique. It's definitely going to be a unique build that you're going to want to bring to that map. But even then, WizKids was like, I mean, my name's on the event, and you know, they were with me every step of the way and saying, hey, we need to tinker with this. We need to pull this in. We need to, because initially my first pitch was actually in that video game. There's a bridge scene where you're trying to cross a bridge and you're trapped on either side by zombies. And it's a whole harrowing experience, but they were like, this is a little too Sparta for us. Like, literally funneled you into the middle. And it's like, you know, two pieces fighting each other. And then, I mean, it's just the way the bridge worked and the special rules and stuff. There is like fall damage. There's a bunch of stuff. And they were like, let's not do that. And then we landed on Ice Lake, and it's, you know, the adjustments that WizKids have, as far as the experience I've had with them, are very smart, very, very elegant and really cool. And it ends up turning out better than I thought it ever would. So
yeah, this is the only thing you can really design. Like, when you win a figure in Worlds, yes, you do get to design it, but you can't pick like, I'm going to design Batman and he has Spider-Man's powers. You know, you have a lot of limitations, but there's not a lot of limitations for a Spirit of the Game Pog or a Scott Porter figure or a Ice Lake map that's representative of something very different outside of the parameters. I mean, there's obviously some restrictions, like we couldn't be Green Lantern Team because that's a different property. And only PJ is legally part of the DC universe. And unfortunately, Lucas is stuck in Marvel, and I am not allowed in either one because of a restraining order.
Or within 40 feet of a school.
the other thing you're really able to design is actually the Become a Switch Clicks prize.
Yes.
And I just saw Keith Barnett's Switch Clicks figure about 2 days ago. And he's going to be sharing it with the community very soon. And it's going to be cool. He's going to get to unveil it to the community. But I can't wait for people to see it. That is something where you can do almost anything you want. But you can't, again, you can't have the exact colors of Superman and have an S on your chest, right? Like, there are things legally that we have to make sure happen. And so for anybody out there trying to throw water on the raging fire of charitable goodness that we create with this event every year, go suck a bag of clicks.
Oh, yay. Look at that. All right.
You know, and then it's cool because this year, the really cool thing is WizKids is showing up. Ryan Opalk is going to be there, and Jameson Scala from HDSA, who is the head of their donor relations department, is going to be at the event as well. And those two things are awesome. And I'm so excited for everybody to get to meet somebody that's representing the company that we're raising all this money for, the organization, and that we're going to have, you know, a rep there from WizKids. And this is really kind of woven into the, you know, organized play schedule of HeroClix. And that's what we set out to do. And I'm so glad it's reached that point.
I want to go over a bunch of things because Scott does not have a lot of time left. I want to make sure we get in like probably top five questions. I want to start with this one, Scott.
I've got 16 minutes. Let's do 16 okay. minutes. Let's add an extra deal. Five.
Wow. Right. Oh, this honestly made me actually LOL out loud. Alec Musser shows a picture of Scott Porter with his family, and he's wearing a black shirt, and he said, how did Scott's family feel about getting plus one defense in this picture? I make an argument that only your son did. Was there concern? Was your wife worried that she did not have the plus one defense?
I think both my son and daughter, I think like, yes, I think she's a they square away.
Yeah, they share keywords.
But I think the two of them both get a plus one here. No, they loved it. Everywhere we go, they make sure they're adjacent to me. And we, you know, we walk in a weird formation as the Porter family, but now people know why.
Okay, here's a real question. And Lucas, I'm hoping you can come up with the next one here. With your incredible vast knowledge of comics and extensive collection of HeroClix, which character would you like to be made into a legacy card? You're going to get some of these every episode. We got to do at least one.
I know. And we always,
Yeah. What's a lot of my favorite used to play all the time, right?
Ultimate Spider-Man with the backpack. And I would utilize Pounce. So I would love to see a legacy card where Pounce is kind of built into him. That would be really cool. That was a piece that I loved to play with for a long time. So
I could, Lucas, do you have one? If not, I can summarize 35 of them into one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that the next one is an amalgamation of a couple. And the first, it's basically, if you've had a chance to play, you know, constructed HeroClix, have you played with your figures? And if so, are when you try to build, are you trying to build with both of them? Or are you leaving one out? Or are you trying not to build with them because it's you? What are you doing?
I'm on record recently in the past couple of years. I just have not had the ability to construct teams. And I've played a lot of sealed, and it's been a lot of fun to play like that. But, you know, as somebody who was once upon a time on the like team building, you know, mod thread on HC Realms when I lived in Tokyo for a year, and I would just help team building questions and everything, mm-hmm. it hurts my heart. But I just at this point with my 2000 jobs, two kids and commitments everywhere, it's just, I don't have the time because if I'm constructing a team, I don't just want to grab a handful of clicks and be like, oh, I guess this is it. No, I need all the synergy. I need all that. I just can't half-ass it in that way. So I end up just playing sealed. If I was playing constructed, because the reason I made these figures is to try and bring back the ability to play certain themes and to try and kind of reverse some of the things that we lost in the game for theme teams. So yeah, I would be utilizing the Scots because that's how I want to play the game. I'm anti-Crampton. I want to play with fun themes and actually have a reason to have the pieces on the map.
So the next is a follow-up to that. If you haven't noticed, your figures are quite powerful and they've made their way onto nearly every team with a few.
Is this the Paul Coat question?
No. Okay. I was going to say with it having such a huge meta impact, if WizKids ever said, you know what, this is too strong, we need to get rid of one of them or both of them, would that upset you or would you understand?
Or if they I would completely understand. I've answered this question before. I play Marvel Snap, and in Marvel Snap you put a virtual card out and it's a little too strong and you have dials you can turn and you can pretty easily kind of fix things. We had specific goals and we didn't expect the Scott Porter figures, I don't think, to be as as viable. I don't know. I thought we would see them. I didn't think they would be everywhere, but it's impossible to turn the dial. And the only way to do that is in Erratus for WizKids. And they take a very long time to do it. They're very careful with what they do, unless something just clearly breaks the game in half. And he doesn't, he just makes it impossible not to, you know, run teams without him. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. We didn't expect that. So if they turned some dials and did some things, it wouldn't upset me at all. It's, it's almost like a badge of honor. Like, you're so friggin' broke. We had to just you're out of here. That being said, I've had talk with WizKids, you know, because, you know, eventually these pieces will rotate out anyway, about a different approach with the Scott Porter figure or something like that. That is a, you know, created for the nonprofit of HeroClix for Huntington's and whatever that ends up being. We've had plenty of conversations of what the next one could be. So eventually these guys are going to go away anyway. So we'll look to the future.
All right, I'm actually going to move on because that was amalgamation. 90% of the comments, Scott, were basically related to, are you playing with yourself? And that was pretty much the joke consistently. I cannot believe somebody would stoop that low to make that kind of joke. Unbelievable, everybody. I expect better from our fan. All right.
They can join the ranks of all of the people that yell at me in airports. You're walking. It's a miracle. Like, I, you know, for anybody out there who doesn't get it, I played a character in a wheelchair. Yeah. For 4 years. You're not the first person that's made that joke. And to everybody in the comment section, you should feel ashamed of yourself, because it's not the joke that's bad. It's the fact that you're the millionth person making the bad joke that's bad.
Exactly. Look, Scott, that's shaming. All. Scott shaming you for making a shameless masturbation joke. Unbelievable and unfitting of our highbrow podcast.
Wait, all that's right. What that means? I thought it meant, oh my God.
All right. So we don't have a lot of time, Scott. So I want to really go into this event, but can we talk about the charity auction a little bit? I know right now, and this might actually be news to you. It is some aspects of it are even up online right now. Can you talk a little bit about the charity auction, the specialness of that, some of the things that happened there?
Yeah, 100%. We have at this point over 240 items already listed. A couple of things to talk about with the auction is that Auxit has really doubled down on their ability to carry way, way more people on the app. And last year, just to be frank with everybody out there, there was a security encryption that was constantly running that's always run on Auxit. But when we had as many people as we did bidding last year, it broke the overtime aspect of an Auxit auction, which means when an auction ends, you have 60 seconds to bid again, or the item will go, you know, go to the person that bid last. The first couple of years we did it, we had it. But last year, you know, we had over 275 people bidding at once at the end, and it was trying to run security encryption for all of them with this massive amount of items. So this year they've been running all this testing over 1,000 items, over, you know, 2,000 people all bidding at once. It's going to be seamless and it's going to be bonkers. And I'm so excited about it. But, you know, the cool thing is with this auction, there's something for everybody. There are tons of, you know, conventionalese, and there are tons of figures that people maybe didn't have a chance to pick up. There's some iconics, like, you know, maybe it's sold out where you live and you just want to pick up an iconics. You don't have to break the bank as a part of this auction, but then there are some really cool, unique items that you can only get here. There's a bunch of stuff for unreleased, you know, whether it's the first appearance of Wolverine iconics, or it's the Masters of Time factory set that we're auctioning off, or the set for the set beyond Masters of Time, which isn't even have an official name yet.
Yes.
We're auctioning all this stuff off. And for anybody out there who's wondering, you know, how does all this happen? We're changing the way it works this year. Myself and Ryan will be on an email with the winners of these auction items starting Monday after our event is over, and keeping in touch with you and letting you know, this is when the marketing samples are arriving. This is when we can send it to you. This is when you're going to get it. You're going to get it early. You're going to get it, you know, have that air of I have something nobody else has for a little while before those things hit general release. And I'm going to be there every step of the way. ScottPorterHeroClicks@gmail.com is if you have any questions or anything, you reach out to me. But this auction is so cool. We have the Become a Switch Clicks. We have all these unreleased things. We have signed versions of like the Ice Lake map and these other items where, you know, whatever you buy in the auction, I can sign before I leave town. You know, it's like, it's stuff that's unique only to this.
And for those going there, we actually have a live auction as well with a handful of items that may not actually even be available in the actual auction. I'm not sure too many, but I know I am personally putting together some, and I'm very excited about this because I had Goldie Hawn, who is the pretty much the most famous person that does incredible sculpts, combined with Jonathan Virgilio, who I'm probably mispronouncing his name, create a special card that is a Scott Porter mystery, a complete thing. Scott Porter himself has never seen it. Last year, if you didn't see what it was, I think it went for like $400 or $500. And basically, it was Scott Porter's iconic role in Prom Night. Starting from the moment that he died. Which I felt was, and this moment I think in cinema history is perhaps the most iconic Scott Porter moment. And there's so many great ones to choose from, but I feel confident that we have nailed this moment in cinematic history, and there is going to be one of these in the world, and we are going to unveil it at the live auction, and see if we can break a record for from last year, you know, get it over $400. See if we can do that, because I think it's worth that. This is pretty impressive. I personally did the last one and I'm not very good. This one I have seen, it is phenomenal, and I'm very, very excited. And Scott's going to be thrilled to see.
I can't wait. I legitimately can't wait, because if I can get another person, like the seventh or eighth person in the world to watch Prom Night, that would be really, really cool. So if that's what this piece does, that would be awesome. Seriously though, I have a Heimdall from God of War Ragnarok sculpt by Goldie, and it's one of the coolest pieces I've ever seen. So I can't wait to see what they cooked up for this one. That's awesome, man. Absolutely. Yeah. And there is this live auction that happens for people who attend the event. Last year we were auctioning off, of course, the Scott Porter Prom Night figure, but also like, you know, we had some Avengers 60th left over from the super pre-release for Avengers 60th last year. Yeah. And we just started auctioning off the boosters, you know, it's like, it's pretty cool. And some crazy stuff was pulled that night. So yeah, we definitely hold a little bit back for whoever's in the room.
Absolutely love that. Scott, I know you have to get going, but let's just reiterate, we're going to Huntsville, Alabama. What are the dates? What is this charity? One more time, just why should people come? One last statement of why they should go to the coolest Hero Clicks event of the year.
Yeah, you know, the event starts in earnest actually Tuesday night. That's when the auction opens up, on Tuesday, April 30th. And believe it or not, almost everything is already loaded up and ready to go. We've been, like I said, you know, testing the auction. It's going to open up and you can bid on stuff all the way through the end of Saturday, when it will be ending around 9 p.m. Eastern, plus the overtime. And then it runs all the way. The events schedule you can find at HeroClicksForHuntingtons.com. But we've got the Tracy Brock Memorial event on Thursday night. We've got the Scott Porter Invitational Teams Tournament on Friday. We've got the Scott Porter versus the World Seal Tournament on Saturday. We've got the Rock World Championships on Sunday. So there is something happening for everyone. The Battle Royals and the in-person and virtual battlefields are going to be going on from Wednesday all the way through the end of the weekend. So if you're at home, you aren't able to attend, you can still jump in. If you're there, there is going to be something for everyone to do. So, like I said, HeroClicksForHuntingtons.com has all the information, all of our pricing, all of the tournament schedules, and I'm just super excited to see everybody down
there. This has been, beyond the fact of how fun it is and everything like that, this has been one of the most successful here Huntington's events. How much have we raised with the sheer volume of work that has been done? It's a tremendous amount. You don't happen to know, do you? Sorry, your eyes.
No, I do. It was just, you know, we waited for a little while last year. It's the first time. Look, we're all learning. And when I say we're all learning, like over the course of this event, like we're all figuring out how to deliver an event that is enjoyable and rewarding for the community who so generously support us. And we're learning how we can utilize WizKids' generosity to the highest extent. And last year, it was a little bit of a tale trying to figure out how much was coming from the Scott Porter figures, which was their idea. And they were like, okay, we got to get them. Oh, we got to produce them. Oh, we got to get them in. We got to ship them. Oh, there's all these other things. But they ended up cutting a check to us for $25,000 because of the Scott Porter figure for HDSA. And that is pure. There is nothing that came out of that. $25,000 on its own. We made $40,000 at our event last year. So last year was a $65,000 event, all going to the Huntington's Disease Society of America to battle this terrible disease in Huntington's disease. And, you know, if you couple that with the first other, you know, the years that we raised money before that, we're up over $120,000 raised.
Woo!
For this cause. And I mean, awesome. That is all you guys. I mean, Howard and I hatched this idea, you know, multiple years ago, but it doesn't work without the community. It doesn't work with everybody out there that is listening right now and everybody that has attended. It doesn't work without you guys. This is not a product of, oh, Scott Porter does this charity event and look at all this money. No, it is a product of the HeroClix community is once again showing, and they've done it for other charities, just how incredible they are. And I'm so proud to be a part of it. And that's really what this event says about the game, about the people who play it, about the people who make it. And I'm just so fortunate and so blessed to be a part of this community. And I will forever hold this community in a special, very special place in my heart.
That is amazing.
Don't underestimate the nerds.
Yeah. Don't underestimate the nerds. Speaking of which, Lucas would like to note that for every $1 raised at this event, he'll be donating $10,000 of his own personal savings. Very incredible, Lucas. Not to be underdone by PJ for $20,000 for every dollar raised. How exciting that is. All right. Well, no time for them to respond. All right, guys, that is it for our show. I want to thank our very, very, very special guest, rare guest, PJ Boland, and his best friend, Mr. Scott Porter, everyone. Thank you guys very, very much. I love having you both on. What a rare treat. We weren't able to see PJ, of course, because he's protective after his facial reconstructive surgery. That's it. So this is Scott, Lucas, PJ, and other Scott reminding you that if you're not playing competitively,
you might as well be playing with yourself. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
The views and opinions shared on Critical Clicks are not those of Scott Porter, have ever been those of Scott Porter, will ever be those of Scott Porter, or any of Scott Porter's worldwide holdings. Thank you.